Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. As we come to worship God together this morning, I'd also like to welcome everyone, especially visitors with us today. It's very good to see you, very good to have you. We pray God's blessing upon us as we fellowship together in his name. We do have a number of extra arrangements today. I have tried to outline them in the notices. We have our congregational meeting after the service, but we've arranged lunch in the meantime as well. So do read those notices at least once the service finishes by now. But I do remind you that all the various activities that we arrange and that we seek to engage in, that we take these as part of our service of God. It is part of our worship service as we speak of these things together. As it is also when you enter this place, we have the offering plate out. We don't normally take up an offering during the service, but there is the opportunity to give your thanks to God in that way down by the door, especially for those visiting, that you know about that. I think one item that I perhaps should mention regarding the arrangements afterwards, which is not in print, is regarding the Sunday school. It needs to run at the same time as the congregational meeting, but up at the manse there will be an opportunity for the Sunday school children to do some activities connected with the project for this year through the instructor. So there are some arrangements for that. And if there could be some mums or dads would be able to take a few of the children up to the manse just after lunch. The signal will be that Meg will be heading up, and she'll be taking some, but if a few others could go as well. Come back to the congregational meeting, and then after that, if you go up and collect your children to head home. So I need to stop there with these things, but do read what is in print to try and help you through the week ahead. I joyed when to the house of God, go up, they said to me. Psalm 122. We turn to page 169 to sing together. Our psalm to begin our praise this morning, Psalm 122 on page 169. We sing all of the psalm. To the Lord's house they were calling, and with joy I went with them. Now at last our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. See Jerusalem like a city built compactly, close and strong. This is where the tribes assemble, tribes which to the Lord belong. And the Lord uses the image of Jerusalem for the new Jerusalem also, when all the nations who trust in Christ will come to God, indeed join together, and that we might look to that day when we will indeed be standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Psalm 122, standing to sing, and remain standing for prayer after that.
To the Lord's house they were calling, and with joy I went with them.
To the Lord sing, praise, and all that
let us pray together. O Lord, may we joy in your presence this morning. We come on the grounds that you have made a promise that where even a few gather in the name of the Lord Jesus, there you will be. But we know, O Lord, that it is only by your grace and a work of your Spirit in our hearts that we will indeed be gathered in his name. That it will be for his glory, for his service, that we come together, and that we come to speak of him and of all of your great and mighty works, that we come in a way that is acceptable unto you. But if we come, O Lord, with a seeking heart, if we come rejoicing that we have such opportunity to speak together of you, to hear your voice, and to return praise unto you, to plead your mercies, we give thanks, O Lord, that you have said those who seek will find, those who knock it will be opened to them. It is as such that we come this morning, that we might catch a glimpse of you, caused thereby to humble ourselves, and so to receive grace upon grace. For we do have need, O Lord. We ask, Lord, that as we are gathered, it will be truly for your praise, your honor, your blessing, and that out of it also we will find your blessing upon us, that we will be ourselves going about our days, speaking with ourselves to remember not to forget your abundant blessings and benefits upon us. We do pray, Lord, that you would set your peace upon us this morning, a peace that is so vastly different from the peace that we often seek in our natural man, that we will know that ourselves as you do a good work in our hearts. And so we ask, Lord, that this will be a time when your kingdom will be honored, will be advanced, even in our own lives individually, but in a way that you choose and appoint, that it will also be beyond us into the lives of others. We pray too, Lord, that you will provide for us in our varied and substantial needs, and that we would find our needs satisfied all the more as we would commit ourselves afresh today into your service and lines of service. And we pray too that you would watch over us in the needs of our lives and day-to-day burdens that we might carry, some who might be going through time of illness. We think too of others of our fellowship, our usual fellowship, who can't be here for just such reasons. We're mindful too of a number who are away from home for a lengthy period. We commit them to you and also their families left behind here. And in each case, O Lord, we do pray, knowing that you are the one who is able to meet those needs so precisely, so satisfactorily. We ask that their hearts too would be seeking you out, and in receiving, that they, with us, would lift up your name in honor and glory. We ask, Lord, that you would accept us now and lead us on in all that we do, that this will be the achievement of today, not something to ourselves, but that you would be magnified amongst us and through us, all asking all, knowing that we can only do so with forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ Jesus, asking all in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let us join together and confess our faith, the faith of the Christian Church, indeed for many ages. I read the words of the Apostles' Creed, but as I read, may you also testify in your hearts that this is your confession. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God accept such confession, and may we continue in that vein as we sing again together in Psalm 30. Psalm 30, 3-0, it's on page 34. We have spoken, haven't we, of the Lord Jesus at great length, what he has done, what he suffered, what he has accomplished, also the belief in the forgiveness of sins unto the resurrection of the body. Psalm 30, O Lord, I will exalt your name, for you have rescued me. You did not let my foes rejoice and gloat triumphantly. Lord God, in need I cried to you, and you restored my health. O Lord, you brought me from the grave and saved my soul from death. And we sing down to the verse marked 5, that's 4 stanzas, Psalm 30, again standing to sing.
Lord, I exalt your name, for you have rescued me. You did not let my foes rejoice and gloat triumphantly. Lord, God, in need I cry to you, and
There are two items that I did forget. I've been going through this morning convinced that I've forgotten something, and I did, at least just regarding the notices. One is that there is a new issue, this annual issue of the Frontiers magazine, From the Frontiers, run by the Free Church of Scotland, all about missions, different mission activities that we're engaged in as a church, as a denomination. So there are copies of these at the back. It is £2. If you can't pay that, don't worry. Make use of it. We'd rather you had it. If you can, just pop the £2 in the plate at the back as well. So do read that. It's an excellent survey of the work that our church is doing, and I would strongly encourage you to make use of it. And the other thing is, I wonder if the Reeds would be able to take our greetings on Wednesday to the young lady Katrina. I believe it's her birthday coming up. So if you folk would remember her, although she's away from us in Manchester, do remember her on her day in Manchester there. Now, a special word for the children. I wonder if you can remember a little while ago, a few weeks ago, I was talking about trees and flowers and things. Do you remember that? Do you remember what I said about it? What was the word that we use when we're talking about trees and flowers very often? Gideon, want to try? Sorry? Growth, that's one word. There's a word, it's a season we call. Mm-hmm. Not summer first. Anyone else? Did you have it, Lisa? No, that comes in after summer, doesn't it, eh? Yeah. Right, Ben, you had something? Spring. When spring springs, then what did I say about it? Say it, take a tree, just take one tree. What did I say about it? Yes, John. What does it look like, first of all? It looks dead, doesn't it? It comes to life afterwards. There was a tree, it has a tree out there that I looked at that day and I said, that looks dead, it was just branches, but now it's got nice young green leaves on it. Now you know something else, I have a little bit of garden at home, and something else I discovered when spring came. There were some trees that looked dead, and then they came to life and there were green leaves and things on them, but there was something a bit wrong about that tree. But I only discovered it in spring because it was then that the other branches came out with their green leaves and their flowers. There were some branches that didn't do that. So they looked dead, all of them looked dead first of all, some of them came to life, and there were others who stayed dead. It was only in spring that I discovered that. What do you think I would do with those dead branches? Anyone? Arthur? Cut them down. Cut them out. Would you agree? Think that's a good idea? When they're still dead after spring, get rid of them. So that's why I've called our children's talk this morning, Dead Stuff is No Use. What do you do with dead stuff? Yeah? Throw it away. Sometimes in certain places you might burn it. You get rid of it. Well, Jesus talks to us about the way that we live, and he talks about a plant. He talks about a vine. It was probably a grapevine. And he says, in fact, you can tell me, what happens to the grapevine? Why do you want a grapevine, do you think? Anyone? What would you want a grapevine for? Think I heard somebody say the word? Andrew hasn't answered yet. Fruit, grapes in that particular case. Maybe other trees, you might have an apple tree, and you get it, you want it, because you want some apples, you want some fruit on it. Yes, Ben? Eventually, but you can't do that unless you've got some fruit, can you? Yeah? It's the fruit that you want mainly from that vine. That's what you're looking for. But if that vine grows, and it doesn't bring any fruit, what would you do? I remember when I was growing up, we tried one, but the climate obviously wasn't very good. We never got any decent grapes from it. Yes, John? Gideon, do you think he's right? Is that what you would do? Yeah? You might grow another one, try a different one, wouldn't you? Chop it down, get rid of it, so that you can do something that will bring some grapes. But Jesus says, our lives are like that. Just like it should be like spring, coming out of what is dead, new life. But you need a new life. If there's anything in our lives that's still dead, that doesn't give something good out of it, good fruit, then it needs to be taken away. Do you believe me when I say Jesus says that? Let's read it. Let's turn, all of us, let's turn together to John chapter 15. There's no better way to see what Jesus is saying than to read it ourselves. That's our reading for this morning. But remember, children, dead stuff is no use. And that's what our lives, where we need to look at our lives. Are there dead things in our lives? And we need to get rid of them and make sure the good things grow better. So it's John's Gospel, chapter 15. We'll read all of the chapter. Remember, this is Jesus who is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, meaning the farmer, the one who looks after the vineyard. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is God's word. May his name be praised and honored amongst us, that it would also be a blessing to us. We respond to our reading of God's word, turning to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, page 53. Psalm 42, page 53, it's the first five stanzas, that's the verses marked 1 through to 5. As pants the deer for flowing streams, so longs my soul, O God, for you. I could almost picture David seeing a deer out in the wilderness when he was out running from his enemies. He would see a deer coming, finding water, panting for it, and being caused to think of his need to thirst and long for God. As you sing these words, may they be the expression of your hearts. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I meet with God anew? My tears have been my constant food, both in the night and in the day, while all day long insistently, where is this God of yours, they say. But he knows that it is that God is real. As we come to the refrain that he repeats through this psalm in verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed in me? Trust God, for I will praise him yet. My Saviour and my God is he. Let us sing to his praise. Psalm 42, 1 to 5, standing to sing.
As and I Bye.
Turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come in a moment to speak of your word and to seek to learn something out of the Bible, we pray that it will be a time when we know something that this world cannot offer. That we do know your voice speaking with us. That though we hear the voices of men, it will be so much more than that. If you will grant us insight, surely first, how much we need a thirsty soul. We will have a great desire, a burning, an overwhelming desire to know the voice of the Almighty God to us, according to your promises, according to your dealings with men from the very beginning, that you would speak to us in grace. So often we do come out of circumstances where there's so many things that will prevent us, that will surround us with activity and clamor, and noise. How much we need the truth from you today. How much we need to marvel against the backdrop of all that we deal with day by day. How much we need to see you in the great light of your goodness. How much we need to see that this too is your free gift to us. We pray that we would meet with you, each one today, out of our varied circumstances, out of our varied trials and questions in life, that we would remember the psalmist wrote, how good it is to be still and know that you are God, to draw near unto you in the holy place, and to find these questions resolved, not one of them able to compare with the majesty of our God. And so we plead with your God too for the work of the gospel and the preaching and the indeed even the reading of your word throughout the different churches of this land today. That men, women and children will come to know the light of your face upon them, the light of your glory, the brightness of your glory in Christ Jesus, to be stirred all the more to give over lives in your service. This will be the purpose of today, not just a comfort to ourselves, but a comfort in knowing that there is a great purpose to be served. The honor of the one true and living God, Maker and Redeemer. And so too we pray as we look ahead to the days to come, and we speak together as a congregation of different issues before us, different busyness as well as business. We ask, Lord, that in all of these things we will be sure to see them as part of your service, and that we will not just be busy about many things, but seeking out fellowship to encourage and to strengthen one another in love, in good works, and this to the honor and praise of our God. And so we do ask, Lord, that you will watch over each one of us in this room just now, that you would deal with us graciously, that you would again receive our plea, our prayer on behalf of those who can't be here and the difficulties that some of them are facing in particular. We pray for traveling mercies for the Kutzers as we expect them returning home this week out of a very difficult time for anyone to experience and think of themselves at this time. We pray that they would be restored and refreshed, and that they would find that their true hope is in you, that you would deal graciously with them. Now, Lord, do lead us on, we pray. Enable us in all that we do to do what is pleasing in your sight, what is acceptable before you. Again, acknowledging that we are but sinners, with the only hope being through your mercy, that we would be as that one of whom Jesus told us, who departed from that place justified. Do accept us then, we pray, asking all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to his glory. Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, at verse 8, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Any of you have worked in a recruitment agency, you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, but it would seem to me that you or whoever does work in such an agency has quite a difficult job to do. Could be quite interesting if you're doing it well. But at least in one kind of agency, if you're given a task by a company, they take you on to find the right person for a post that you have, you would need to have some pretty good idea of what that company is like, what their business is, how they go about it, and so on. On the other side, it would seem that there would be some advantages in being a recruiter for your own company, because you know it, and you are it, that company, if you like, in a sense. In the sense that you are seeking to bring someone else into the business. Last week, for those of you who were here, we looked at the closing of Matthew's Gospel. And there at the end of Matthew's Gospel, there were certain men, a small group of men, who were given the task of making disciples. We know that group of men The Bible itself in Matthew speaks of them as disciples. They were being told, therefore, to make others who will be like yourselves. You are disciples? Make disciples. The picture that I've just used, bring others into your company. For any of us, the only true way to make disciples is first to be a disciple ourselves, part of the company, if you like. And if we hear that Jesus, in his last words to man before he went again to sit with his Father in heaven, if we hear that his chief concern was to bring more disciples into his presence, I'd say if, we most certainly do hear that, if that's his chief concern, and if I am to be a disciple of Jesus, how will it be? How can it be? What does it mean to be a disciple? John 15 at verse 8 tells us that we will be Jesus' disciples if we bear much fruit. And that bearing of much fruit also brings glory to the Father, to God. Although Jesus speaks of him as the Father, because that was his great zeal, to honor and to glorify the name of his Father in heaven. I believe that we find the first principles of discipleship here in this verse, and in the passage it is built from. So I want to deal with four things this morning. The first being what I'm calling into Jesus. Also, abide in Jesus, then bear fruit, and finally, glorify God. I suggest that you can find these headings in this passage, if not exactly in this verse, but they're definitely in the passage, and that's why I use them, that you can look at that passage again, and you can think on these things once we're finished here this morning. But first of all, into Jesus. Being disciples is what I'm talking about. And in the first place, into Jesus. You see, if we are to be anything, we have to first become that thing. If we're to have life, we must first be born. Whether you're a garden flower, or a member of parliament, or a you name it, whatever, you must first become it before you can be it. Understand? It's that first step that I'm concerned about, first of all. And I'm just aiming to cover this very simple point. If that's the case with anything, a garden flower is a garden flower. It's being a garden flower because it became a garden flower. That's all I'm saying. But it's to also make the point that that's the case with being a disciple of Jesus. You have to become one first. Make disciples, Jesus said to those men. And I deal with it first because we cannot just go on and speak together saying, let's be disciples, if there may be some who are not yet disciples, who have not yet become disciples. Have you made that first step, is the question. That we cannot assume that just anyone can add what is called discipleship to their lives. Just out of personal choice. Oh, I'd like to follow discipleship, and so on. Let's make it very plain. Let's not just assume it. But the Bible makes it very clear that there is only one way to become a disciple, if you are then to be a disciple. The Bible says if you are to become a disciple, the first thing to do is to have faith in Jesus. What I'm doing at this point is to ask you to be sure that you are in Jesus, that you have faith in Him, that you are in Him. Be sure of that, first of all. Because I would go so far as to say that you'll make nothing or very little of anything else that I have to say today unless you are first sure that you are a believer in Jesus. You cannot be a disciple if you're not first, haven't first become that disciple. To be a believer in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, and that's in the sense of having Him as the very hub, as the all-consuming motivation, the one confidence in your life. That one confidence. Not with any mixture. Make sure now. And I'd be delighted to spend time with you afterwards if you have any questions about that. I'm sure others who are believers here would say the same. Speak about it. If you want to make sure, please do make sure. I suggested that maybe you won't make an awful lot of sense about being a disciple if you are not first a disciple. But in another sense, I would urge you to keep listening, even if you're not sure yet. Because I have a few things to tell you of. Surely you'll want these too, as well as those who are His disciples. Look and see how special it is to be in Jesus. Taste Him, Psalm 34 says. Taste Him. See that God is good. All of us have been children if we're not still children. And aren't there some things that you tasted for the first time? Before that, you didn't like the look of them and you said, I don't like them. Taste it. Just taste it. Oh yes, it's wonderful. Taste and see the goodness of God. You won't be satisfied with anything else. Come into Jesus. Trust in Him. Make your life revolve around Him, or rather for Him to revolve and to encapsulate you, wrap you all up, that He's the bigger and He takes you into Himself. Of course, we did read that Jesus warned that closest circle that the world around them would hate them, would be in opposition to them, and bitterly at times. Don't be at all surprised if that does happen if you come into Jesus, when you come into Jesus. But don't let that put you off. Answer this question. What's the profit for a man if he gains the whole world and the popularity of the whole world, but loses his own soul? Those people around you who are opposed to you, who hate you because they've hated Him, do they have eternal life? Can they offer it to you? The money you're making, doesn't that disappear? That lovely life, that house and that car, all of these things, don't they disappear? How clear is your thinking on this? Where do things weigh in the scales of your life? What has the greatest weight? What have you got offered to you here? Eternal life. And a knowledge of God. Who's the most famous person you have ever met and spoken with and could say, I know that person? Because you know, when I come to the Bible, I don't really want to know about your famous person. We have God here. And He says, I'm prepared to know you. Every day of your life. That famous person, how often have you met them? They can't be with you every day of life. Let's get some our thinking clear on this. Why get along with the crowd when they're all going the wrong way? Have you ever left a match or some performance or other? I've done it. The cricket match. are left halfway through. Perhaps you've left because you think there's not an awful lot happening here. When you get home, you discover everything's happened. It's all changed. The most exciting period of the game. Why did you leave? Droves were leaving. They didn't like what was going on. You just got up and went with the crowd. Why didn't you make your choice? Stay where the action is. With God. How clear is your thinking? Are you in Jesus? I'm saying to be sure of it. Get into Him now. Don't leave it too late. But if you're in Him, what this passage is talking about is abiding in Him. That's the second thing. Abide in Jesus. This is what it means, or another way of putting, being a disciple. Abide is perhaps not the most contemporary word. We might rather use the word to live. And live is an ongoing thing, isn't it? Living is what the vine and the branches are about. That picture that Jesus uses. Not a hard picture to understand, is it? We see these things. But he speaks of branches in that vine that must bear fruit if they are to survive. You look at a vine. There are a lot of them around. They're not great vines, but the wisteria, you know, the lovely purple, pale purple flowers. There's a lot of them around at the moment. Think about that for a minute. That's the fruit of that vine, if you like. Look at that and think to yourself, now, I've seen that vine. Have I ever seen a branch fall off, lie on the ground for 6 days, and then on day seven, it jumps back on, and it bears flowers again. Beautiful flowers, the best. Have you ever seen that? No. Let's be honest, like Lisa. We don't see that. It's not the way things work. He says, abide in me. You are branches. Abide, stay, live in me. Once in, stay in. You get in by believing in Jesus in a full sense, not just saying, yes, I think he's right, but in the full sense of committing your life to him because he's trustworthy, because his words are trustworthy. You build your life on him and around his words. I mentioned it already, being in him is more than just being the center of life. That's often we make that too small. It's about wrapping us all around, like the atmosphere around us. We couldn't live without it. We're utterly dependent upon it. It wraps us around. Well, think of God and Jesus like that. Everything is to be viewed in relation to Him. Absolutely everything to the smallest detail. To the very last minute that you walk out of home to get to church this morning. One example. But not a single thing should be allowed to intrude and interfere where he belongs. What does a meteorite do to this world when it intrudes from outside? It damages, doesn't it? Well, so does this. All things must be done to his honor and praise. All things, day by day, week by week, month by month, every day that you're spared, every moment of that day, that's what abiding means. You're living, aren't you? Every moment of the day. That living must be in him. Live in me, be in me, and I will be in you, and you will be living. Live in me, he says. You'll truly be living. Live in me. And live in me. Be in him, that he would determine all things. Living is a long-term thing. It's never promised to be easy to live in Jesus. The world will hate you because it's a logical thing. You come into him, it will hate you because it's hated him first. As long as we're in this world. But that's just it. In the grand scheme of things, that's not very long. What will you choose? This is the home you will never have to leave, abiding in Jesus. As long as there is fruit. And so that is the question. Do you abide in him? Do you go on living in him? Are you truly connected to that life source? Because he is a fruitful vine. He is the vine. If you are his, you are the branches. If you are to be known as part of him, if you are to be regarded as part of that vine, are you bearing fruit? Show others, but show him first of all, mainly. The Father is the farmer, the one who determines whether there is sufficient fruit on that branch. Show him that you are alive in him. Bear fruit. I just have to be very quick. Abide in Jesus. What happens then? You bear fruit. Seems to be about something we do, doesn't it? Almost. Let me insist that salvation is not by our works. Salvation, coming into Jesus, is through faith in him. But if you are saved, if you have turned to him, you will want to live for your Savior. I think it's the case in most other rescues that any man has known. Rescue from disaster, you will love that Savior. You will want to do what you can for him. Why not this one? Perhaps it reflects that he doesn't mean so much to us, to you. But this is the most desperate need that you can be rescued from. This is the greatest of rescues. It was the firmest grip that anything had on you. Sin and death. And he delivers. He rescues. We should live for him. We need to do and behave as though Jesus really does mean something to you. What fruit do you bear? Again, as I say very quickly, just on occasion, there is some mention that of fruit in the sense of bringing other disciples into the kingdom. It is mentioned. But that's not the biggest thing that the Bible is concerned about bearing fruit. That's not the greatest weight that we find. And there are a few references, if you wanted to check them on the side of the service sheet. They're printed there for you to take home and think about them. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit. Do you bear this fruit? What fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience that is, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where is anything that you're doing to bring somebody in there? This is about the way that you live. It's not your attitude, it's the manner of your behavior. Do you show these things? Do you go out in business and you're far from gentle? Do you come home and there's no self-control? And let's go on, Ephesians 5, 9. What is fruit that he talks about here? Goodness, righteousness, truth. Righteousness, let's remember that. A helpful definition is about right relationships. That's at the heart of that word. Matthew 12, 33 speaks of fruits worthy of repentance. Do you know what repentance is? It's about changing the way of life. To follow God, to follow Jesus. Complete change. Are there fruits worthy of that? And James chapter 3, 17 to 18 speaks of wisdom from above, which is full of good fruits. That wisdom is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Let somebody else go first. Full of mercy. Without partiality or hypocrisy. Do you see? This is the weight that the Bible puts on fruit. That's what the Bible speaks about primarily as fruit. It's more about the way that you do things than what you do. And how often do we stop and care about that? It needs to make a difference if you are to be a disciple. That's the big discipleship question. What is your spirit? The spirit of your life. Tomorrow, in the office, there in the supermarket, at home, what fruit in this list are you going to bear to show that you do abide in Jesus? Stop and think for a second. He is the vine. This is the fruit that He wants to bear. Doesn't not these His characteristics? His gentleness was outstanding. His righteousness could not be faulted. He was the truth itself. There is none good but God, and He is the Son of God. These describe Jesus. Remember what someone said about the way that He spoke. No one spoke like this man. It didn't mean that He used different words, different language. It meant the way that He spoke, about His authority, but also about His spirit, His gentleness, His passion for their souls. So much about what you do, what you say. Is that the way that you do it? The way that you say it? Does that honor Him? Does it show that you are in Him? Is this fruit, the fruit that you bear, you will bear some kind of fruit, but is it good or is it bad? Where does it show you to be rooted? Where does it show that your life force is coming from? Is your fruit belonging to this vine that is Jesus? Or is He better off without you? Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in Me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. He does not need branches that don't bear fruit. And pretended fruit won't survive the test either. Verse 4, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. There can be all sorts of displays, but the real fruit is not there. And that's why when there were people who came to, or Jesus said, there will be people who will come and they will say, we did this and we did that and these great things and prophesied and all those holy things. And He says, go away. I don't know you. What you have done does not fit with Me, because this fruit was missing. The characteristics, the spirit, the manner was not there. It's not the doing so much. It's how you do it that comes first. But the other thing that Jesus says here, you'll be My disciples if you're bearing fruit. That's the proof of the pudding, if you like. That's the evidence that can be seen that you are abiding in Him. But there is more to it than that. And this is just utterly phenomenal. I might use the expression. He says, if you are My disciples, you will go through life like this, you will bear this kind of fruit, you will live in this kind of way. Do you know what that's going to do? Going to be good for you. It will be good for the people around them, even though sometimes they will react against it and you. But there's even more than that. He says, by this My Father is glorified. If you bear this kind of fruit, it brings glory to God. Aren't you stunned? You should be stunned that God offers you that privilege. It's a magnificent thing. Your life. Are you like me, just a little person in this world? Your life can bring glory to the greatest person over this entire universe. That's what the Bible says. Jesus brings me in to be joined with him, to bear fruit. It's good for me. I will be kept safe. Abide in me, he says. Who better to keep me safe? But let's look at this and rejoice. I mustn't be surprised, in one sense, because this is one with all that Jesus has done. Everything he's concerned about. And remember, we began by recognizing that he was especially concerned to bring in, that the disciples would make disciples. He wants his people. So that is something he's concerned about. But all the way through his work and his life, his greatest purpose of all was to glorify God his Father. That's what this is about as well. But Jesus, the Son of God himself, came to this earth to get you. Why? So that you can go along with him, living in him, as his dearest brother and sister, not just a servant, we read that, because he knew that you, if you are his disciple, can glorify God with him. That, an overused word today, is awesome. I want to claim it back, because this is awesome. There should be a real awe about this. Almost, if you like, that we can't go on and do those things that we've planned today, because we're just stunned to think that God takes me and he uses me to glorify him. I don't need to bother about glorifying myself. I don't need to bother about climbing the ladder. You don't either. You don't need to bother about the celebrity culture we're living in. Who are they? You can glorify God. The one who made you. The one who has done these stunning things in his Son, the Lord Jesus. All I need to do is to allow Jesus to take me, to prune me, to bring forth this fruit in my attitudes, my spirit, and then God's glory, yes, God's glory, will be opened up some more through my life. Let that be your prayer. Lord, glorify yourself in me and through me, that I might bring forth fruit. That's God's grace. Not just for you and your salvation, wonderful though that is. Why has he saved you? So that you can glorify him. Don't you see it? You see the honor he does you. I was reading the other day in Psalm 59. You just register. Look at it at some point. And for the first part of the psalm, he speaks about the struggles. Almost the darkness of life. Until around about verse 9, I think it is. He says, but I will praise God. What's he doing there? He has seen God, and God's brightness is so great because of that darkness behind it. In all that is around us and the problems that we face, look at God instead. See the brightness of his glory in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. Be amazed. I need to close. Out of this whole book, every single verse is of value. But for this morning, I just bring you these few words. In that little verse, did you notice them when you read through? I bring them to your attention. John 15:8. See these. It should mean so much to you. Even those words should be capable of turning your life around. Not for your sake. You'd love to have your life turned for better, wouldn't you? But this is the best. which it means so much to you and to me. There's no number targets to achieve here. Nothing of the sort. Just, if we can put it that way, just new character. To approach everything in the grace of God, in the name of Jesus. Are there so many things around you in your life that make you say, well, I can't do this? I ask you, isn't it worth it? Look at Jesus. Genuinely look at him. Search him out. He will be found. And set everything else alongside. Set it out. Go through your life and say, what am I looking for? What have I got? Set it out in a row. And put Jesus there and say, how do they compare? Be honest about it for a change. I'm talking to myself too as I speak. What comparison can there possibly be but to abide in Jesus and bring glory to the Father? Some Saturday afternoons, it hasn't happened for a while, but some Saturday afternoons, just to reflect perhaps the oddity of my work, I hear the buzz of a lawnmower out in the summer sunshine. And I think, I wonder what it would be like to have a normal life to do that on a Saturday afternoon. Because I can't. My life is different. But I don't wonder for long. Because I realize to myself, there's nothing else can compare. I'm not setting myself. Don't misunderstand me. This life that I live is awkward, it's confusing at times. It's not just a job. God doesn't always make himself very clear what the next step is. But there is absolutely nothing can compare with, in a small way, it's trying to serve him. And I plead with you, you are my friends, I plead with you. Think that way. And go beyond. Searching him out. Lord, what can I do? How can I live for you? You be prepared to taste him. You'll be hooked. And if you have been professing believer for some time, and you say to yourself, well, I'm not sure that I know that taste anymore. Renew it this morning, please. It's not even just a question of when will it be too late, but what's the best thing? It's open, it's offered, it's free. Come into Jesus. Be a true disciple. Bear this kind of fruit because you can glorify God. What more can you ask? Let us hear what he says to us. Let us pray as well. Lord, we come in an act of prayer. May it be true prayer in the name of Jesus. That we, with him, would only seek what pleases you, what is in tune with your will. But it appears to us, O God, as we read your and think upon your word today, how can we doubt that your will is that we live in Jesus, that we live out our lives, that our lives take shape in him, because of him. Help us each one to examine ourselves in the light of this your word, and beyond that, that we would examine you as you set yourself before us. and that we would commit ourselves utterly. And to the one who is above all things, in majesty, but also in grace. You are able, O Lord, we ask this to the honour of Christ. Be pleased to answer and to give for your glory. Amen. Let us conclude our morning service turning to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, it's on page 113. We'll just take the last two stanzas, that's verses 8 through to 13. Psalm 85, page 113, starting at verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord says. To his saints he offers peace. But his people must not wander and return to foolishness. Psalm 85, verse 8 through to the end. We stand to sing and remain standing for the benediction.
I will hear what God the Lord says.
Upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.